Machinists are on strike at Hawker Beechcraft. A child is missing after a 172 crashes into an Oregon vacation home. And a Hawker 800 jet hit an antenna on a go-around. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 5th, 2008. The situation was tense outside the gates at Hawker Beechcraft's plant in Wichita, Kansas, Monday morning, with over 100 machinists on strike, working to prevent employees from crossing the picket line. 30-year employee Jim Greer told the Wichita Eagle, quote, "I've never seen the union this fired up before. I'm going to stay out as long as it takes," unquote. The strike officially began at 12:01 a.m. on Monday, when the previous contract expired. The Associated Press reports workers rejected a proposal by the company Saturday, with 90% voting against the offer and 89% voting to strike. Reasons included concerns about pensions and health care benefits, as well as pay below that of workers down the road at Cessna. Job security is also an issue in this cycle. As ANN reported, in June, the International Association of Machinists said it had uncovered a 5-year plan dubbed Project Pelican, under which Hawker Beechcraft allegedly planned to conceal the scope of outsourcing to a production facility in Chihuahua, Mexico. Hawker calls its offer Saturday the best made to employees in more than 20 years. Quote, "The company addressed every major issue brought to the bargaining table by union leadership, as the proposed package contained increased wages, more choices in health care plans, and improved medical, dental, vision, and pension benefits," unquote. Hawker says it proposed 4% pay raises in each of the next 3 years, increased vacation time, and an increase in pension plan funding. Officials say at least 4 people have died after a Cessna 172 hit a tree in the Oregon coastal town of Gerhart Monday morning and fell into the roof of a vacation rental home, which then caught fire. KATU-TV News reports the plane's adult pilot and passenger were presumed lost, though their bodies have not yet been recovered. The bodies of 2 children believed to have been in the home were discovered. The search continues for a 3rd child who may have survived. A medevac helicopter transported a mother and 2 children from the scene to a nearby hospital. Their condition was unknown as of Monday afternoon. The aircraft was reported rented from Aviation Adventures in Seaside and had taken off from Seaside Municipal Airport shortly before it went down. Witnesses said the pilot appeared to be having difficulties flying in dense fog along the coastline just before that crash. Investigators have released new information regarding Thursday's fatal crash of a Hawker 800 at Owatonna-Degner Regional Airport in Minnesota. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reports the business jet's right wing struck a localizer antenna about 1,000 feet off the departure end of the runway, as the pilot apparently attempted a go-around following a botched landing. National Transportation Safety Board member Stephen Chielander says the antenna stands about 8 feet high and straddles the width of the runway on which the pilot was landing. Quote, "For some reason, they made a decision to try to take off and get airborne again. The airplane was still on the ground when it hit that antenna, and the accident sequence began at that point and ended up in that cornfield," unquote. The Hawker, flying as East Coast Jets 81, was inbound from Atlantic City, New Jersey. There were 2 pilots and 6 passengers on board. 7 were confirmed dead at the scene. The 8th later died after being transported to an area hospital. Of help to investigators will be 3 flight recorders on board the Hawker, including a cockpit voice recorder and a Honeywell enhanced ground proximity warning system. Up next on ANN, a Grumman goose is down with 5 fatalities. United reaches an agreement with pilots to stop a sick out. And a woman is injured when an airliner's seats come loose from the floor. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin. Follow the leader.
Fly Wise with the powerful Piper Mirage's pressurized comfort, six-seat cabin class sophistication, and long-range mission capability. Turbocharged 350-horsepower piston engine, maximum cruise speed 220 knots true, range 1,345 nautical miles, useful load 1,205 pounds, maximum operating altitude 25,000 feet. The Piper Mirage, because might is right. To learn more about the Mirage, log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 5th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. There were only two survivors Sunday morning in the crash of a chartered Grumman Goose carrying seven people near Port Hardy, British Columbia. CBC News reports the Pacific Coastal Amphibian was carrying employees of the Seaspan International Shipping Company and went down shortly after takeoff at 7 a.m. Pacific. The plane was heading for a logging camp near the village of Kayukwat on Chamas Bay. Search and rescue crews made contact with one of the survivors via cell phone early Sunday afternoon, but crews spent hours searching the dense brush before the wreckage was discovered. Both survivors were transported to a nearby hospital in Comox, with one reported in good condition, the other suffering unknown injuries. Officials have not identified any of the victims, pending notification of family members. Since July 19th, when United Airlines announced plans to cut 950 pilots' jobs as part of a downsizing, the airline says an illegal pilot sick-out protest has forced it to cancel hundreds of flights. The Chicago Tribune reports United's parent company, UAL, asked the U.S. District Court in Chicago last week to bar the Airline Pilots Association from encouraging its pilots to engage in what it calls an illegal and disruptive slowdown. A hearing on that preliminary injunction is scheduled to begin August 27th. United announced on Friday it has reached a temporary agreement with ALPA to limit work slowdowns. United spokeswoman Megan McCarthy explained, quote, "We have reached an agreement, but it is between the parties," unquote. The union could still face a formal injunction later. A United Airlines flight bound for San Francisco from Seattle-Tacoma International Airport Sunday evening was forced to make an emergency landing after a row of seats gave way during takeoff and slid into the row behind it, injuring one passenger. The FAA and NTSB are investigating what has been called an unusual incident. United spokeswoman Robin Urbanski says Flight 1139 took off as scheduled at 5:20 p.m. Minutes later, a bolt holding down three occupied seats in row 3 loosened, and the seat slid backward into the three passengers in row 4. The pilot turned the plane around and returned to the airport. A 61-year-old woman sitting in row 4 suffered a knee injury and was transported to Highline Medical Center in Burien. That's according to Perry Cooper, airport spokesman. No other injuries were reported. The FAA says an airline maintenance crew discovered the loose bolt and fixed it. The plane was back in service and headed out for San Francisco at 8:56 p.m. United says it's in the process of compensating the passengers. Urbanski says the injured woman was rebooked on a first-class seat to San Francisco and left on Monday morning. Still ahead, Exair celebrates its first customer aircraft delivery at Oshkosh. The Dominican Republic welcomes aviation tourism. And NASA says it's too soon to say life is possible on Mars. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at ClarityAloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 5th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. It's one of the most affordable factory-built light sport aircraft on the market, and at EAA AirVenture, X-Air officially delivered its first one to a customer. X-Air's David McCray commented, quote, 2008 has been an amazing year for X-Air. We've assembled a superior team of professionals, went through the ASTM consensus standard paces, and are successfully building, selling, and delivering aircraft. To do all that in a mere matter of months is a tribute to the dedicated team that makes up the X-Air organization, unquote. The LS has a base price of $46,900, including flaps, trim, ICOM radio, Dynon engine monitor, and basic flight instrumentation. Optional equipment includes wheel pants, extended fuel capability, Garmin 396, 495, or 496, and GTX 327 transponder. The plane is powered by a four-cylinder Jabiru engine. While the FAA continues to push for general aviation user fees, and some individual states continue their punitive taxes on visiting general aviation aircraft, a delegation of high-level aviation officials from the Dominican Republic came to AirVenture last week to spread the word. Their Caribbean nation welcomes GA. Jose Tomas Perez, Secretary of State and Director of the Dominican Institute of Civil Aviation, led the group. Quote, with a tourism-oriented economy, we simply could not continue to forfeit this lucrative segment to our Caribbean neighbors. The president has demonstrated his determination to move the Dominican Republic to the top position in general aviation tourism, unquote. Perez was referring to a decree signed in March by President Dr. Leonel Fernandez. Presidential Decree 169-08 eliminates government user fees for personal aircraft up to 30,000 pounds maximum landing weight and 12 passenger capacity. The decree also directs government agencies and employees to facilitate the convenient and pleasant movement of general aviation aircraft and their occupants. Andre Vanderhorst, director of the Dominican Department of Airports and a principal agent in the drafting of the executive order, commented, quote, this segment of tourism cannot be developed under the shadow of user fees. It is in our national interest to move to a fee-free policy. Hey, Florida, are you listening to this? Caribbean Flying Adventures is planning the first of many guided fly-ins to the Dominican Republic for this October 9th through the 14th. And finally, despite reports last week by a noted aerospace trade journal suggesting NASA was very close to revealing that the Phoenix Mars lander has found evidence Mars could have had conditions needed to support carbon-based life, NASA said Monday, don't hold your carbon dioxide waiting for an official announcement. NASA says its scientists are still analyzing results from soil samples to understand the Phoenix landing site's soil chemistry and mineralogy. Peter Smith, Phoenix's principal investigator at the University of Arizona, Tucson, said, quote, we are committed to following a rigorous scientific process. Initial analyses suggested Earth-like soil. Further analysis has revealed un-Earth-like aspects of the soil chemistry, unquote. With continuing results coming in and the spacecraft in good condition, the mission has been extended through September 30th. The original prime three-month mission ends in late August. The extension will add 5 weeks. Meanwhile, Earthlings have to wait a little bit longer for the answer to the question, are we alone? And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guests are two Navy officers who helped bring a pair of Seahawk helicopters from San Diego to display at Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.